a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealer's honking. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among the loved and most.
Acknowledge God and our listeners. People visit a wise man, complain about the same problems over and over again. So one day he decided to tell them a joke, and they all roared with laughter. After a few minutes, he told them the same joke, and only a few of them smiled. Then he told the same joke for a third time, but no one laughed or smiled anymore. The wise older man smiled and said, "You can't laugh at the same joke over and over, so why are you always crying about the same problem?" Have you thought about that in your own life? Well, let's go ahead and delve into various topics as we head toward the topic for today. But did you hear about the undocumented, illegal migrant from Lebanon who was caught at the border? And he admitted that he's a Hezbollah terrorist, hoping to make a bomb, and was headed for New York. Now I want you to really ponder, think about wherever you happen to live at, if we're talking about the United States. And we are talking about the United States. Are you all comfortable wherever you happen to live? Do you really know what's going on around you? Do you really understand? You think it's just going to affect the person over there, not you and your loved ones. Okay. A Lebanese migrant who was caught sneaking over the border admitted he's a member of Hezbollah. He hoped to make a bomb, and his destination was New York. Bezo Basso Ebeda, 22, was caught by Border Patrol on March the 9th. It's March the 18th. When did the information become known publicly? Oh, let's see now. Within the last 48 hours. but near El Paso, Texas. Wait a minute, isn't where individuals who support individuals coming across the border not the right way like everyone else, including you or me, and you and you and you and you? Oh, let me see now. But my ancestors were brought over for slavery. But wait a minute, let's get back to the story. Never left it. And so isn't the politicians in that state, Texas, for whatever reason, are trying to do something about it? And are they being obstructed? Stop? What's going on? Because if you correlate it back to your home, wherever your home happened to be, and you invited somebody in, okay, then there's the consequences as a result of you inviting them in. But what happens when you didn't invite anybody into your home? You're going to pick up the phone and call law enforcement after you try to hopefully protect your home and your loved ones inside your home. And you're going to hope that they're going to do something about it. But here's a case where that's not being the case. Okay, so if you're letting somebody into your home uninvited by you, but invited by somebody else that's not in your home, that's affecting you, then what can happen? Well, let's continue the story. In a subsequent sworn interview, he said he had been trained with Hezbollah for 7 years and served as an active member guarding weapons locations for another 4 years, according to internal ICE documents. His training focused on jihad and killing people that was not Muslim, he said. Well, let me separate. Oh, you cannot. Let me give you a bad example, but true. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile, according to the word. But, hold on. Let's do it a different way. You don't mind, do you? I'm just trying to understand. But if those from the Islamic belief believe that if you're not Muslim, then you're fair game for being harmed, killed, then this 22-year-old is clear based upon whatever his belief system is and his training. But the border agents continue to see a surge in migrants whose name appears on the terror watch list entering the United States illegally as crossings continue at record levels. Hezbollah, an Iran-backed terror group, say what? Wait a minute, aren't they involved over there in the Middle East, over there in with Israel right now? But wait, hold on. Aren't their belief system that Israel is Satan number two and the United States is Satan number one? Oh, okay, let's go ahead with the story. An Iran-backed terror group has launched missiles into northern Israel following Hamas attack on October 7th. They have killed about a dozen IDF soldiers and 7 civilians. Remember my frog story? Frog sitting in the pot of water, all comfortable. Got it going on. They done made their money. They got their prestige. They got their title. They got their degrees. They got their nice little zip code. Don't bother them. They can care less about what's going on that's affecting you and you and you and you and me. And then somebody come along and say, hey, you need to wake up, get up, move forward. You're not doing okay. The second person came along with their belief system, told them you're doing just fine. Don't listen to that person that came along that was trying to build you up. Listen to me. I'm trying to break you down, keep you where you are, destroy you. Oh, by the way, let me turn on the oven, the microwave, without you knowing about it, but I'm giving the impression I really care about you, irrespective of your skin tone. Oops, but be based upon your skin tone if someone is of that belief system and that's their motive. And then you waking up too late. Where's the watchman's, the spiritual ones that sounding the alarms? Why are you waiting for the secular ones to do it? Oh, where are the secular ones? Oh, they're trying at least. But believer of the household of faith, you know, God has given you light. You're not walking around in a dark room. But you don't mind if we continue as we head toward tonight's topic, today's topic, this morning's topic, do you? Because we're talking about relationships. Remember, I've never left relationships of any type. But you hear about the innocent father who lost their entire life savings in a sophisticated email scam. They had $150,000 sitting in their bank account. They worked for it. And they felt safe knowing that they and their family would be financially secure in the future once they reached pension age. So when they received an email stating that a relative had passed away and left them some inheritance in their will, he didn't think it was totally out of the realm of possibility. Maybe because his relatives had some money or materialism. Kind of got greedy, didn't he? Well, I don't know. Only he really knows. But let's go on with the story. He says he got an email from someone called Steve Golds, G-O-L-D-S, who said that they were the owner of a bank in Manila. And the person who was scammed worked in a warehouse. He said, I was entitled to an inheritance of 3.8 million euros, and I just needed to provide my details, which I did. And you know the rest of the story. Going to do your research, going to do everything you can to prevent yourself from being scammed, irrespective of the titles. That's my point. Don't get caught up in somebody's title. Oh, they're a politician. Oh, okay. You're caught up in their title. Oh, they're a wealthy person. You're caught up in their title. Oh, they're this, they're that, they're that, they're this. You're caught up in what? Oh, they look good on the outside. They talk good. They sound good. Ready to continue? Did you hear about the couple 82 and 91? They were conned out of $1.4 million in a six-month scam. And that's because the fraudsters impersonated Homeland Security. They tracked their movements and banned them from speaking to their family. And who would do that? Well, depending on how slick these individuals were. The couple were under the illusion that their bank accounts were being targeted by international cyber criminals in China, Russia, and Bolivia. And they were convinced to drain their life savings and investments, which were earmarked to fund possible future hospice care for Ed, 91, who was suffering from tongue cancer. Now they're relying on Social Security payments and a small pension belonging to Ed, a former IT worker, to live. The astonishing story lays bare the devastating losses incurred by elderly victims to fraud. The FBI estimates senior citizens lose $3 billion to financial scams annually, and though the figures can be hard to pin down, as many are too embarrassed to admit that they've been conned. Are you woke now? Don't let it be terrifying. Don't let it be hopeless. Don't feel helpless. Don't feel hurting, homeless. Wake up is the first key. stand up. It's time to do something about it. Oh, you ready for the nice topic? Oh, okay. Well, the 2024 scorecard report has been released. The second annual primary care scorecard was developed by researchers, American Academy of Family Physicians, Robert Graham Center, and co-funded by the Milbank Memorial Fund and the Physicians Foundation. The scorecard reveals an intensifying primary care crisis and identifies five reasons and why access to affordable quality primary care services is expected to get worse in the United States. The topics include a decline in the number of doctors practicing primary care, underinvestment in primary care, and other factors affecting access to primary care across the United States. Are you ready for the results? Are you sure? Because the writers of the report gave five reasons why access to primary care is getting worse. And they also indicate what needs to be changed. Jappaport, Jetty, Bayan, Sitakul, Pedersen, Park, and the Robert Graham Center, the writers of the report. They list number one as the primary care workforce is not growing fast enough to meet population needs. Now, why is that? Are you being encouraged not to have children in the United States? The number of primary care doctors per capita has declined over time from a high of 68.4 per 100,000 people in 2012 to 67.2 per 100,000 people in 2021. Wow. While the rate of total clinicians in primary care, inclusive of nurse practitioners and physician assistants, has grown over the past several years, but it is still insufficient to meet the demands of overall population growth. A rapidly aging population with higher levels of chronic disease forced losses during the pandemic. Compared to Canada, which boasts a primary care physician-only density of 133 per 100,000 people, the United States primary care total clinician, which includes doctors, nurse practitioners, and doctor's assistants, density was only 105 per 100,000 people in 2021. Wow. Reason number two, the number of trainees who enter and stay on a professional pathway to primary care practice is too low, and too few primary care residents have community-based training. I wonder why nobody wants to go into the community. Your community, and mine too. I wonder why. In 2021, 37% of all doctors in training residents began training in primary care, yet only 15% of all doctors were practicing primary care 3 to 5 years after residency. More than half of residents with the potential to enter primary care subspecialized or became hospitalists instead. In 2020, only 15% of primary care residents spent a majority of their time training in outpatient settings, where a majority of the U.S. population receives their care. Fewer than 5% of primary care residents spend a majority of their training with the most underserved communities in the United States. Wow. 5%. The number of medical residents per person in primary care has risen at a slower pace than all other specialties, increasing by only 21% compared to 26% in other specialties. I wonder if money has anything to do with it. Versus an innate concern and the motive for one becoming a doctor . Reason number three, the United States, excuse me, continues to underinvest in primary care. The investment in primary care as a share of total health care spending has dropped from 5.4% in 2012 to 4.7% in 2021. Medicaid and commercial insurer investment in primary care has decreased since 2012. Medicare investment remains low. Since 2019, primary care investment has steadily declined for all payers. This decline is most pronounced in the Medicare population. Number four reason, technology has become a burden to primary care. Data limited to family doctors demonstrate that healthcare technologies do not serve primary care doctors adequately, more than 40% of family doctors report. Unfavorable scores on electronic health record, EHR, usability, and over 25% report overall dissatisfaction with their EHR. Electronic health record. And last, fifth reason, the primary care research to identify, implement, and track novel care delivery and payment solutions is lacking. Since 2017, only around 0.3% of federal research funding administered through the National Institutes of Health and Agency for the Health Care Quality and Research, for example, per year has been invested in primary care research, limiting new information on primary care systems, payment, and delivery models, and quality. Lack of adequate data about the primary care infrastructure hinders the scorecards. Capacity to fully track progress on the NASEM report objectives, pay for primary care, teams to care for people, not doctors to deliver services, ensure that high quality primary care is available to every individual and family in every community, train primary care teams where people live and work, design information technology that serves the patient, family, and interprofessional care team, ensure that high-quality primary care is implemented in the United States. Wow. So they're giving you the reasons, and they're giving you solutions. The question is, what you going to do with it? So you now have an idea why, as relates to healthcare, in the United States, as pertaining to, you know, primary care, why it has worsened. In the United States. Wow, wow, wow. All right, you ready to continue to the next topic? Homelessness. You sure? Well, before we even get there was a paper written in the Harvard News by Jay Lau, LAU, addressing the U.S. homelessness crisis, homeless tents under a bridge. And it's dated February 29, 2024, so you know it was just less than a month ago, because it's not even the 29th of March yet. And it indicates that between 2022 and 2023, the number of people experiencing homelessness in the United States jumped 12%, the largest yearly increase since the Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, started collecting data in 2007. We're in a crisis right now. Let's make no mistake about that, says Olivet, executive director of the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, at a February 22nd virtual event co-sponsored by Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health Initiative on Health and Homelessness. Said housing is a basic human right, just like food or water or a right to education, a right to health care. People need and should have access to affordable housing. And yet, we know we live in a country and in a world where that's not always the case. Other co-sponsors of the event included the Harvard Joint Center on Housing Studies, the Harvard Kennedy School Government Performance Lab, and the Harvard Advanced Leadership Initiative. The homelessness crisis is driven by challenges across multiple systems, according to Olivet, who discussed key findings from the HUD 2023 annual homeless assessment report. Not only is there a shortage of affordable housing, but many people also have trouble accessing physical and mental health care, education, and public transportation. And when you look at all those factors, it's no wonder that we have millions of Americans who experience homelessness, he said. Now, think about what he's saying. Now, you know I got to take a sip of my water from there now. Now, you know I do. He said, Gary, why'd you pause for a long? Think about what's being said. So the individuals out there, irrespective of how one has gotten there, you know, and I was sharing with the brethren last evening of the individuals that God has blessed me to have come in contact with that's out there on the street, and then communicating with them and learning their backgrounds and how they arrived at being homeless, and hopefully being able to be in a position to build them up individually and lead them to doors of opportunities while helping them where they're hurting. Now think about the other individuals out there on the street, military, all types of backgrounds that you wouldn't even think of. And they're watching other individuals, and they have a right to come across, come enter the United States or your country or your country or your country. But we're talking about the United States. And you're told to do this and do that, and you adhere. And then someone else may be told, you ain't got to do that, and they get over. And right before your eyes, while you're hurting and homeless, and you're doing everything you can to get up and move forward, and you have all the, you're experiencing all that they're talking about in this report, mental health, education, public transportation, and physical assistance as well, and you have trouble accessing, and then someone else come along and they have no problem getting access to it, and having came the right way. And so when people are telling you about adhere to this law, this law, this law, this law, and when you do not, you find yourself incarcerated for 12 billion years, and some, you're going to tell me something right with that? However, Olivet noted that during the first couple of years of the COVID-19 pandemic, the federal government instituted an eviction moratorium and provided emergency housing vouchers, but these protections and resources have since ended. However, Olivet also highlighted a success with bipartisan support from Congress. The number of veterans experiencing homelessness has decreased by more than 50% over the last decade and a half. Yay! It gives us a proof point that when we invest in housing and wraparound health care, that we know how to end homelessness. He said the question is, how do we apply that to other populations that's going to take additional resources? Collaborative efforts. In addition to the factors that Olivet mentioned, the number of people experiencing homelessness is increasing due to an influx of immigrants from the Mexico-U.S. border, according to Speaker Beth Horwitz, Vice President of Strategy and Innovation at All Chicago, Making Homelessness History. The nonprofit coordinates the efforts of organizations across the city, as well as government resources to serve the different needs of the homeless population. She said that we found that when we centralize and coordinate resources, we have the greatest impact. Horwitz said that All Chicago expanded its efforts during the pandemic by leveraging resources from the federal government. She added, we're seeing increased investments from state and local government to help us continue to serve even more people so that we can become a country where housing is a human right and everyone has access to safe and affordable housing, she said. Now, and I'm sure that their organization is doing a wonderful job, but have you been watching the news in Chicago where the people who happen to come from my community are up with their mayor, their politicians, you know, the ones that they voted into office that out of their lips told them, I can do this for you, that for you, this for you, that for you. Oh, I didn't tell you I can't do this for you. Oh, I really didn't tell you I'm not going to do that for you. I should have told you that I'm going to do something that's going to be against what you need for you. So you've been listening to where the people have began to stand up for themselves and said no more. It's kind of like what I was sharing with the brethren or two. It's like crime. You know, if crime is occurring, it does start with the people. It starts with the people holding the criminal accountable, holding those who claim they're there to protect you accountable, starting with that person you put in office, starting with law enforcement, starting with all those people that come to your community claiming, I love you and I'm going to do this for you. Hold them accountable. Make sure the lips match in the shoes, but at the same time, you have to be held accountable too, people, because you may know the people who are doing it, and they may be relatives, friends, romantic, they may be whomever. Well, let's continue. You don't mind with the report, do you? You know, the J. Law was talking about, we finally got to it. Yeah. No, we're getting to the real report from the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness that we just heard from Jay Lau. But the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness is requesting submissions by March the 20th for emerging practices for effective ways to stem the inflow into homelessness. Okay. So those of you experts out there that listen to the Challenges of Favor radio program, use the knowledge, your practical experience. If God is leading you, you have an answer. Provide it. Show the effective ways to stem the inflow into homelessness, you know. It's kind of like where I am. You know, I was listening to some crime that's out of control. I'm like, how did it get there? Who are all these players? So I was led, I believe, or it may have been out of emotions with a conclusion. So I sent an email letter saying, hey, I would like to use that which God has allowed me to use over the years. They do consider me from an expert in that standpoint. I didn't say all that, but let the record speak for itself. I would like to offer my assistance. Notice what I put at the end, if you want it. You know what? As crime continued, do you know I'm still waiting? But at the end, you know, I was telling loved ones that you don't need to go through a person or a group to stand for that which you know to be right, to address crime, homelessness, all of these issues that's affecting the people. So here, the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, they're asking you for help. And they're providing sample questions that they need for you to answer when you submit your information. For example, what is your community doing to prevent people from experiencing homelessness? What are the most important outcomes your community has achieved in reducing inflow and preventing homelessness? Does your community use targeted prevention strategies to address transitions from institutions such as jails, prisons, foster care, hospitals, and behavioral health institutions? And if yes, please describe. Does your community focus prevention efforts on specific populations, you know, youth, families, older adults, veterans? If yes, please describe. Come on now. Help the people. I remember when it was time for me to continue forward after helping the helpless, the homeless, the hurting, the hopeless in public housing. And an 80-year-old leader of the people who were disadvantaged, poor, I let them know it was time for me to go. And they said, Gary, just make sure that you've helped that person. You've shown them how to hold the cup of water, that well of water. And then when you've shown them how, go on to the next person who's waiting for you. Because the person you just helped may try to keep you where they are. And the person that's waiting for you may not receive the help that's needed. Help the people learn to help self so that they're not in bondage by anybody. You know, a relationship. Did you hear that the Supreme Court unanimously rules that public can sue officials who block them on social media in some circumstances? Did you hear about that? We're talking about accountability. Those that you have put in office, you did put them in there, didn't you? Those individuals that you put in some type of form of leadership that's over your life, you're holding them accountable, are you not? Including the individuals in your relationship. You know, starting with yourself, starting with your loved ones, starting with your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you name whoever it happens to be, or your friends, or your so-called friends, or the pastor, or the person sitting in the pews out there in the community, your neighbor, out there on your job, whether it's your subordinate, whether it's your peer, whether it's your co-workers, whether it's your supervisor. It doesn't make a difference who it is, because you're talking about upbuilding, not trying to take away from anybody. But are you doing it? When are you going to do it? All right, upcoming Wednesday. You know, it's relational day. We're going to talk about the employed relationship. Yes. But in the meantime, I want to leave you with two verses. This has been with me on my sojourn. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Remember now, all scripture is not to you or me, but it's for you. That which is applicable, apply it. So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It doesn't make a difference who's coming at you, whether it's the devil, demonic forces, or the two-legged people that they use who don't believe in the God of the scriptures. Who you keep your eyes on? Who you're trusting? Oh, speaking of trust, my other favorite verse in Psalm chapter 118, verse 8. Relationship. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Oh, come on, ladies. Don't think it's just men. It's applicable to you as well.